We're going to France next, where by this time next week, one of Europe's biggest countries could have a far-right head of government. 28-year-old Jordan Bardella says he would prioritise law and order and change immigration policy, which could see French people of dual citizenship barred from certain jobs. His party, National Rally, formerly known as the National Front and led by Marine Le Pen, daughter of the National Front founder Jean-Marie Le Pen, a former member of Nazi Waffen SS, has come first in the first round of voting in France's parliamentary elections. They secured just over a third of the vote, with President Macron's centrist bloc in third place on 21%. A left-wing alliance came in second on 28%. There's another round of voting to come next Sunday, which will decide if a far-right government will have an outright majority and a free hand, or fall short, leaving a split assembly. Ivanka Dimitrova is a candidate for the National Rally and says they are not the monster they have been presented as.
We are convincing people that our party is not the monster it has been presented as, and that the fact that we love our country and our people does not mean that we hate others. Not at all.
Christopher Weisberg is an outgoing member of Parliament for Macron's centrist Renaissance Party. He calls it a disaster to have the far right as close to control as they are.
The major lesson from yesterday night is probably that the Front National, the extreme right in France, is about and very close to be in power for the first time since Second World War. And of course, it is a disaster. It is a very terrible perspective. And it was possible because of this silly decision from the president.
Let's speak now to Professor John O'Brien. He's Jean Monnet Chair in European Integration and Director of the Maynooth Centre for European and Eurasian Studies. Professor Brennan, good afternoon. Thanks for speaking to us again. What on earth is going on in France?
Well, I think it's very clear that Macron's decision to call this early election has entirely blown up on him. He may have hoped that the decision was one that would see people making a choice between his party and the National Rally, but instead he's come a dismal third, and the National Rally has gone from a situation where a decade ago they had just two seats in the National Assembly. In 2022 they got 18% of the vote, they got 89 seats. Yesterday they got nearly 34% of the vote, and they could well be within shouting distance of an overall majority. That has never happened, as your previous guest has said, since the Second World War. So it's not just Macron and Macronism that is on the ballot potentially next Sunday. It is also clearly about the Fifth Republic and whether or not it survives. Because if the National Rally wins, we'll have a situation that isn't just about France. Across Europe, we are seeing this real surge amongst far-right parties. My calculation is that if the National Rally wins on Sunday, in addition to Italy, we'll have about eight or nine governments in the EU that are either controlled by the far-right or that have far-right coalition members. We've never seen this before, and it is genuinely very, very dangerous.
If the far-right win an outright majority, and that isn't a big if anymore, it's a very real possibility, what will they do?
Well, it's very clear that this is a party that is still very hostile to immigrants, so you can expect anti-migrant legislation, legislation about identity and citizenship. It's also a party that's deeply hostile to the environment, so it's going to be very, very difficult for Ursula von der Leyen, if she comes back as Commission President in Brussels, to make the European Green Deal work, because there are lots of these other parties in power across Europe that are also opposed to climate change legislation. And the other thing to watch for potentially, and I still think there's a significant doubt that they will get a majority, but if they do, Europe's policy on Ukraine will be thrown into turmoil, because this is a party, remember, that has been very close to the Kremlin in the past. About a decade ago, it was revealed that they had taken a 6 million euro loan from Russia. So I think there's deep, deep peril here, and I think that's given rise to the kind of fears that we've seen expressed by your previous guest.
Other parties have cooperated before to ensure that the far right didn't advance, particularly in presidential elections. They're going to try to do the same here again, but it's a bigger ask and a bigger task this time.
That's right. In every previous situation that's any way proximate to this, we had this kind of cordon sanitaire that was placed around the National Front and the National Rally. Now, the really interesting thing to watch this week is that we have really competitive contests. There were only a small number of contests decided yesterday in the first round, but we have these so-called triangular contests where there are 311 constituencies up for grab. In 244 of them, we have a three-way contest between the Left Front Popular, between President Macron's Ensemble, and between the National Rally. We have another set of contests then that involves Les Républicains, the Gaullist sort of centre-right party, and there's a four-way, there are a number of four-way contests as well, but it's really those 244 constituencies where this week we're going to see an effort by the left and by President Macron's party to choose one out of the two, wherever they have the best chance of winning, to try and stop the National Rally getting that majority.
But already we're seeing members of President Macron's party very uneasy and unwilling to back far-left candidates.
Yeah, I think there is an enormous tension between the France Unbound party, which is part of that coalition, and its leader, Monsieur Mélenchon, and between President Macron. It goes back many years, and I think that is going to be difficult. But listening to Mélenchon last night on French television, he was saying very clearly that in these three-way contests, they will have to step aside if President Macron's party has a better chance of taking that seat. So I think there's a lot of bargaining to be done over the next 48 hours or so, but it's very clear what has to happen, that from those three parties, the two parties that represent the Fifth Republic, they have to combine together to prevent the National Rally winning those seats.
It's arguable whether it's alarmist to compare what's happening in France now to what happened in Germany in the early 1930s. Why is this happening in France now?
I think there are a combination of reasons that apply not just to France, but those other European jurisdictions as well. I think we have to go back to that big, big recession in 2008. The austerity that was imposed on many countries subsequently as a way of getting out of the disaster, it had lingering effects in many communities and regions across France, and that worked to the advantage of the National Rally. More recently, it's been the cost of living, which has been and a kind of double whammy if you think about COVID as well. And if you add to that the impact of migration as an issue, these things have sort of congealed to really greatly advantage Marine Le Pen and her party in France and those other far-right parties across Europe as well.
Professor John O'Brien, thank you.